Hey, this is Kari Payton. I'm Cyborg from Teen Titans and Injustice and Injustice 2. And you're listening to The Night Nerd. So keep listening. Booyah!
Welcome to The Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Wednesday, so we're going to talk some comic books. All week we've been looking at werewolves. Halloween's around the corner. Spooky stuff's happening. Why not? One thing I've learned this week, and we'll talk a little bit about it today, is werewolves have kind of gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to classic monsters. You know, you see Dracula, vampires everywhere. You even see a lot of mummies. But for the Wolfman to be up there, outside of Twilight, and we don't count Twilight, so really, there's not a whole lot of great source material. And the same is true in comics, where you have literally thousands of thousands of thousands of characters. Werewolves are few and far between. Even if you look at, like, the X-Men, they're mutants, so, you know, Wolfsbane isn't, I don't know, you could argue Feral and Wolfsbane, if they're werewolves or just mutants, or the same. But yeah, so there's not a whole lot of cases of werewolves in comic books. But today, we are going to look at the top five cases of werewolves in comic books. Kicking it off with number five is going to be John Constantine. There was a time in Milligan's final run where he gets turned into a werewolf. And it's Milligan on Hellblazer, so you can imagine how insane and crazy things got. And by the end of it, there's a mobster's daughter that comes in and gives him the cure. So, you know, he's no longer a werewolf, he's been cured, etc., etc. Things are great. And then there's a, down the road, there's like a flash forward, or we see the future later on. And 10 years from now, that daughter, that girl, the woman that cured him of lycanthropy, the werewolf disease, turns out to be his wife. So boom, there you go. That's just a really cool little story that really only Constantine could pull off. I don't see a whole lot of characters doing something like that crazy and getting away with it. But it's Hellblazer, it's Constantine, he can do fun things like that. Number four is going to be The Astounding Wolfman. This is probably the most recent. No, not probably. This is the most recent look on our list. This is from 2007 is when this book debuted. And it ran for about a few years up until 2010. And it was created and written by Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead and Invincible and everything. And it's about a guy named Gary Hampton who is a big, fancy, successful CEO, but while on a family vacation, he's attacked by a werewolf, and he decides he's going to use these powers for good, but even though, like, the curse is evil and sometimes brings out bad tendencies, I guess you would say, and it was a fun little series. Like I said, it didn't last too long. What's neat is, since Kirkman considers all of his almost all of his books set in the same universe, we've actually gotten to see Wolfman later on. He showed up in Invincible, in the two-parter Invincible universe, and there's a lot of callbacks there to his first appearance, or not first appearance, his original series, as far as him dealing with different struggles and what he does. Really a fun little book. As far as Robert Kirkman stuff goes, it's interesting to see his take on, you know, family man by day, werewolf by night dynamic. But it works really well. I recommend it. It's collected in a complete hardcover that includes some of the Invincible stuff. And there's like four volumes that you can check out. Go to your local comic shop and peep it. It's, like I said, it's fun. Before Robert Kirkman was Robert Kirkman, this was a nice little story by him. Number three is going to be John Jameson. He is the son of J. Jonah Jameson and a big character in the Spider-Man comics. He started off as an astronaut and actually debuted in Amazing Spider-Man number 1. So he's been around for quite some time. That would have been, what, 63? Yeah. And he would go on, you know, he'd have some stories. But then when Jerry Conway came on, he's like, hey, I want to do something crazy and really push this character who hasn't had anything going for him. And he turned him into a werewolf. Man-Wolf was his villain name. While as an astronaut, he went to the moon and he found this godstone and it grafted itself onto him at his throat. It was a really cool scene. You see all these like tentacle things come up and go through his body, and the gem, its powers activated when the moon, when there was moonlight. So he became Man-Wolf, and he fought Spider-Man a little bit. Spider-Man took the ruby, the gem, whatever you want to call it, off. Then Morbius reattached it to manipulate Man-Wolf into fighting Spider-Man again, and it just crazy. And so that alone right there is a pretty cool story. But he would get transported into another dimension called the Other Realm, where he would find out that this ruby was created by a guy named Star God. And when he was in this other realm, John became Star God and could control everything. You know, he wasn't just a mindless killing machine like he was in our dimension. And he had a cool little run where that's what he was doing, but then he came back to Earth, and yeah, then over the years he'd do some other stuff, like he was Captain America's pilot for a while, he dated She-Hulk for a while, and most recently he was on a space station that was attacked by Doc Ock. So a lot of things going on with him for sure. That's really neat. Number two, The second best werewolf in comics has got to be Cap Wolf. This was almost number one. It was hard not to. But Cap Wolf comes from a story arc in 1992 of Captain America, which started in issue 402 and ran till 407. And Cap's in Massachusetts. Then Wolverine, actually of all people, finds his body that looks like it's been killed by a werewolf. He's afraid that it's John Jameson, because that's who is his pilot right now. And he goes off trying to find him. Well, he runs into this werewolf that attacks him, but this guy named Moonhunter shows up, who he's basically like Sam and Dean from Supernatural, but just for werewolves. And he saves Cap. And they go and they realize this whole village that they're in, Starksboro, Massachusetts, is turned into werewolves. And Nightshade and Dreadman are behind it all, and they end up taking over, or controlling, however you want to say it, both Moonhunter and Wolverine, and they finally take down Cap, and they inject him with the serum that, you know, makes people into werewolves. Well, because that's a thing in the Marvel Universe. It mixes strangely with his super soldier serum, and he turns into a werewolf, but just like John Jameson when he was Star God, he's able to still be Captain America. So now he's Captain America, werewolf, Cap Wolf. And he fights Wolverine, beats him up, does all this stuff, but eventually gets captured again. They throw him in this pen with all these other non-conforming werewolves, which one of them is actually from the X-Men, is, I think it was Wolfsbane, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Wolfsbane, and she kind of helps Cap learn how to talk, because, you know, his mouth is different and everything, and he's got to relearn all this stuff, and since it's the early 90s, and it's a Marvel book, all of a sudden Cable shows up, because he's looking for Feral. And Cable just starts shooting stuff. Cap disarms him, and that lets him free Wolverine and Moonhunter and all this other stuff, and everything gets back to normal. the day was ultimately saved by John Jameson. He is the one that made the villain come up with an antidote. So, yay, John Jameson. But the visual of Captain America as a werewolf is just great and cheesy and amazing. Yeah, we'll probably use it for our picture for today. But our number one, the number one werewolf in comics has got to be Werewolf by Night. First showed up in 1972, created by Roy Thomas, Jerry Conway, and Mike Ploog. This was, for the longest time, the Comics Code Authority didn't allow horror stuff. So, zombies, werewolves, things like this. I think they found a loophole with vampires somehow, but werewolves for sure weren't allowed. And in 71, the ban got lifted. So, next year, February of 1972, boom, Marvel Spotlight number 2 drops, and here is Werewolf by Night. His real name is Jack Russell, which they would later change to Jacob Russoff or something because they didn't want him to be named after a dog, I guess. And he was a super, super popular character in the 70s because it was a nice little break. You know, you'd had nothing but superheroes for so long, and the controlled, thanks to the Comics Code Authority, controlled superheroes. And out comes this Werewolf by Night and just kicking butt and taking names and doing all sorts of great stuff. I mean, he had his own series for a while. He actually, at one point, had a couple of series going on. And, yeah, just really helped usher in a renaissance of horror in comics in the 70s. Then the 80s would come around and he kind of disappeared. He'd show up in, like, Moon Knight a little bit and Doctor Strange. In the 90s, he was showing up in Morbius, Living Vampire. And that was really about it until 98. Paul Jenkins would do a little 6-issue Werewolf by Night Volume 2 that would kind of bring him back in. And again, he would just kind of disappear until 2007. He had a little one-shot. 2009, he was in a little miniseries under the Max imprint. And that's really been about it. He hadn't, I mean, you know, he'll pop up here and there wherever you need, but usually he's just referenced somewhere by someone that, like, Deadpool talked about him, X-Factor's talked about him, and all these things. But as far as what he means to comics and what he does, he's really awesome, and that's why he is the number one werewolf in comics on our list. Let us know, what are some of your favorite werewolves in comics? Or do you maybe know why there aren't more werewolves in comics? Let us know here on SoundCloud or out there on social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Just look for The Night Nerd. We're out there publishing new stuff every day. So make sure you check it out. And it's not just me. We also have the gents over at Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words doing their thing. If you're listening to us, either of us, on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you're listening to us, make sure you hit that little like, share, and subscribe button. Also leave us a good review. That helps us get better prizes for giveaways, which right now, head on over to our Facebook. We're giving away an SNES Classic for free. We just have to get to a certain number of page likes, and we'll give that thing away. So hopefully get that in time for Christmas. If you want to talk to me directly, you can email me, thenightnerd@outlook.com, or just nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. I respond to each and every single email. I love hearing from all you guys and gals, folks out there. So that's going to be it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.